Hi, welcome back to Goat Homeschooling with Erin and Amanda. Today we are going to talk about co-op selection and all things co-op. Welcome to Goat Homeschooling with Erin and Amanda. I'm Erin.
And I'm Amanda.
This is the podcast to encourage moms that have been at this homeschooling gig longer than 5 years and plan on sticking with it through the high school years. The long haulers, as we like to say. We want to help you have the greatest of all time homeschool that meets the needs of your family by encouraging you with real conversations on the issues that pop up as you've been in this homeschool lifestyle for years.
So it'll be fun to try and see if there's people out there that need the encouragement and if there's anything that we can do to help others as they get started on their journey. That'd be awesome. That's what we're here for.
Amanda, you want to start with telling us your experience with different co-ops? Or,
well, I'll tell you what. When we first started homeschooling, I have a couple of kids that are quite abhorrent to desk sitting. Mm-hmm. And so if I was going to do a co-op, I needed to find one that they would not need to sit at a desk at the entire time. And we went and toured several. And then we finally found one that was a 45-minute drive away, one way. And it started at 8 a.m. and it went until 4 p.m. on Fridays. Very, very long day. So we had to leave the house by like 7 because I needed to get there early. I had to volunteer, but it was very hands-on. It was all hands-on. That was like the slogan, you know, it was all hands-on learning, which was wonderful. And it really, really worked well for a couple of years. But there were a few hiccups along the way. And we had a few conflicts with other moms. And it ended up not working. And so, I was willing to go, and this is still true, I'm still willing to go and compromise myself. Like, I'll bend over backwards if it's something that works for my kids. The minute that it stops working for my kids, I'm out. You know, the kids had a few conflicts, and I don't think that the conflicts were handled appropriately, and they weren't handled the way that I liked for them to be handled. My kids were not treated the way that I felt that they needed to be treated within the conflicts. And so we took care of the conflicts. We handled the conflicts. We did a lot of discussions at home about how we would do things differently. And we learned, we took, use it as a learning experience. And then we were out. At the end of the year, we were done. That was it. Mm-hmm. And then we figured out other co-ops. And right now, last year and this year, we're doing a co-op at my house, you know, so there's people that are hand selected to come to my house. There are conflicts, and there's going to be conflicts, but it's important, I think, to have people that handle the conflicts in a similar way that you as in a, that still look at things in a Christian way, wanting to get things out in the open to have a conversation about the conflict and then to deal with it, problem solve, move on from it. And I think that's really, really important. And it's a great lesson for the kids. And when that doesn't happen, and of course, there's always going to be adults that, we're faulted, you know, it doesn't matter what happens with the other adults. As long as you have those conversations with your kids, your children can learn from the adults' mistakes, you know, and to not repeat them. Then that's the most important thing, because it's all about them. But yeah, so that's how I do co-op selection. You know, it's based on my kids' needs. And when we walk into a co-op and there's a bunch of desks in a room, my kids probably aren't going to like it too much. I mean, we came from public school though too. So, you know, anything initially, especially initially, whenever anything remotely felt like public school, they were rejecting of it. As soon as you walk in the door, if there's smell, if there's a similarity, if there's a something that looks like public school, feels like public school in some way or shape or form, my kids would not want it. And that's just the remnants of what public school did to them. Mm-hmm. So they're a lot better about it now. I don't think that they would completely reject a desk initially. Yeah. So that's what we needed. So it was worthwhile to drive 45 minutes. One way to go do that. And it was exhausting. And I would fall asleep as soon as I got home in the afternoons. We'd end up having to order pizza most Fridays because I was sure as heck wasn't cooking. What about you?
You know, we've done several over the years as well. I think I mean, each year you assess what works and what doesn't. And I don't know. I mean, some people wouldn't call what we do on Tuesdays is an enrichment program. It's not a quote co-op because it's not mom led, but you know, moms pay into it. So I kind of feel like it's a cooperative. We're paying towards it. You know, I think that on some definition that that could be, but that's worked for us. We've done that for several years. Doing a drop-off on Tuesdays where we, you know, the kids have Spanish or computers or science labs and music class and art. So they get all the fun things that they would normally get at a public school or private school setting, a yearbook, school pictures. They get a classroom setting without mom as their teacher. And so that's worked for us. I can tell you though, the first two or three years, my boys especially like hated it. They would complain and I don't want to do this, but I saw the value in it. And they now every year look forward to when it starts back up again in the fall. So they have grown to love it. And I could see that in my kids. So there's sometimes like where as I'm looking at our year, I have to just make a judgment call and say, right. You know what? I think that you're going to really like this when you get in there. Cause my kids are very content to sit at home for the most part and do school at home. They don't necessarily need something like that. But I think there's value in it. So we've done that, I think 7 or 8 years we've done the drop-off program. And then we also have done different groups like you've done as well in your home where we have like a hand selected small group of people with that we have common interests with, and we'll do a lot of times it's like science based. So we can do those experiments together. You know, remember our secret science club that we had?
Yes. Oh, that was so fun.
Yes. So we had like, I don't know, five families or something. And we would meet on Saturdays so that the dads could come. And we did that for several months and it was a good experience.
Mm-hmm. It worked well.
And then I've also done another one out of my home with like a science and history. And we would do like the special days for the history, you know, celebration days together. And we would do the science hands-on experiments. So yeah, usually when I'm looking at a co-op, it's gotta be something that is not something I would be doing at home. You know, I'm not going to sign my kids up for something that like I can do math at home or language arts at home. I'm not going to look for that in a co-op unless my kid was struggling in something and needed more of like a tutor situation. Maybe I would look at that.
Yeah.
But for us, it's mostly like the art classes and the things that I can't teach or that lend themselves well to group settings like science experiments and discussion groups, book clubs. We've done book clubs before mm-hmm. with other moms where we all read like a classic book and then meet once a quarter or so and have a big party. I would consider that a co-op. So I've tried different things in different seasons. Different things worked really well. We're currently mm-hmm. in a group that meets on Fridays, which I never thought I would like a Friday co-op. You know, it's hard to figure out that day of the week that works because it's like you're sacrificing time at home. So it's got to be worth whatever day or time you choose. And, mm-hmm. you know, some seasons of life, mornings lended itself well to being out of the house. But then I realized as the kids got older, like an afternoon co-op would be better. So we're currently doing a Friday afternoon co-op with a couple different families. And it's been going really well this year. And we're looking to grow it next year because it is a small group. And it's just that kind of fine line with co-ops. You know, you want to have a tight-knit group of people, but you also need to have enough moms to teach so that you can have all those age groups broken up.
And have the right kind of moms that you can rely on that have the same mindset as you, that they're going to conglomerate the same way that you will and function. And so that works for functionality. Yeah. I do want to clarify something I said earlier. You know, when it stops working for my kids, if they complain about something, there's something to complain about. Like you said, your kids complained for the first couple of years. That's where the relationship between parent and child comes in, is that you know the difference between your child just kind of, I don't like this, versus there's an issue. You know what I mean? So there's for you, like that was when your kids were kind of complaining about it for the first couple of years, you knew there really wasn't an issue. They just wanted to complain about it. And that's different than what my kids had experienced. And I'm not, it's just, you know, I'm going to yank my kids at, you know, when they stub their toe at college. No, it's not like that at all. Cause they will tolerate quite a bit. But when they start, you know, there's a level. And when you reach that level and it's beyond that level, then you have to reassess. So I just wanted to clarify that from earlier.
Yeah, that's a good point too, because like when I say complaining, it's mostly like, oh, we have to get out of the house early.
Right.
Early being like 9 a.m., you know, like
right.
most yeah, people exactly. do this most of the time, you know, but then when they would get there, they would have fun and they would show me their projects and talk about their kids in the class. So yes, I thank right. you for clarifying that. Cause yeah. you know, and I think it's just knowing your kids too. Like,
right.
do my kids love when I sign them up for something and not tell them? No, they don't. Especially as they got older, they have an opinion and they want to know, like,
right.
they want to have a say in that. And so I do talk about that. And sometimes it is having a more mature conversation with my older ones and saying, you know, here's the classes that I feel like would be beneficial for you to take. And here's why. So could you do this or try this for me? And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they love it at the end of the day,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
Because like we are spending hours and hours of our time. I don't know, like it's homeschooling is my full-time job. So I'm researching after hours. I'm looking at books and curriculum and co-op options. And, you know, I have an opinion on it and I'm kind of an expert in that because that's what my job is. And so when I present something to my kids as an opportunity, it's only with their best interest in mind.
Right.
And there have been co-ops where we've, you know, there was one that my daughter ended up doing and I'd signed my boys up for it and it didn't work for the boys at all. And so I took the boys out of the co-op, but left my daughter in and it worked great for her for the year. But we ended up doing something else and right. there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Absolutely not.
You know?
Yeah. You have to know your kids.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm not a fan of sticking through something just because you signed up for the year. If it truly right. is like making your family miserable, right. it's just not worth it financially. Like that whole like sunk cost fallacy, you know, I've already dumped this much money into it, you know, and thankfully I have a very supportive husband who has been like talking me down of like, I've already spent the money on this book set and the kids hate it and I hate teaching it and they're not loving it and they're not getting anything out of it. And, you know, him just saying, okay, then buy something else or find something else. Like
right.
just the money wasn't lost. It was used to show you
right.
that this doesn't work for your family. So resell it, you know, like
right.
cut the yeah. loss. Don't try and suffer for the year. Don't be a martyr to the curriculum. It's a tool. And when it's not a tool, then it's a problem.
right. Exactly. And you're still going to learn from it regardless
yes.
of yeah, making that change or not. You're still learning from it.
Yeah. And I think, okay, so we can talk about like, we've both had experience starting co-ops. And mm-hmm. so maybe we could talk a little bit about what that looks like or some cautionary tales or things that have worked or not worked.
Don't do you. It. No, I'm just kidding.
If you don't like extra stress and you don't like moms calling you or sending you nasty grams, don't start something in the homeschool community.
Well, and I'm just, I tend to keep people close. And so if I have a certain set of people that I want to do something with, then I will ask them. And I don't like to share that with other people.
You're exclusive.
Well, and I just don't like people in general. So, you know, whenever
the hallmark of homeschooling moms, right?
quote unquote, started a co-op. It's just been, well, these are classes that interest my kids and they're classes that would be good for them. And it ticks all the boxes, so to speak. And so no one is teaching these classes. So let's do it on our own. And who else would want to do that we like and like to spend time with? And how can we make this work for everyone? And that's essentially what happened last year. You know, we wanted to do uh-huh. a cooking class and we wanted to do a psychology class and logic.
Is
another one that we tossed in there. Yeah. And it was good uh-huh. for all of them. And then, you know, but we only had 3 families total involved in that, including mine. And it worked out really, really well. I didn't have to expand on that. I didn't have to like share it with too many people. And the more people, the more conflict there is. And there's, you know, like it was the perfect amount of teenagers. Mm-hmm. Like they all fit around my kitchen table. There was 5 teenagers and me, and I have a six seat table. So it was like, you know, everyone fit really, really well in all these little ways in my brain. And so it worked out really well. The co-op that I mentioned earlier that we drove 45 minutes one way to, that was a startup. Like that was the first year for that co-op. And so I helped start that one up. And so doing all the paperwork and all the legalities and all of that, mm-hmm. I would rather avoid doing all because there's just, it's a lot of work and you're volunteering your time to get all that done and you're doing it for your kids. But those are parts of doing a co-op and creating a co-op that your kids don't ever see the benefit of. So, I mean, it's a good learning process, I guess, for us as adults, but you're not doing it for yourself and you're not doing it for your kids. I mean, the ultimate mm-hmm. goal is for your kids to enjoy the co-op. So that's part of it, but there's just a lot there. My preference is to do the small co-ops at my house that we don't have to have liability forms for.
Right. Sign the waiver before you show up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, and anytime, you know, I don't know, homeschooling is so, it's so weird because each of us are doing this selfishly for our own family's benefit, right? So then when you try to incorporate more people into that, you're really wanting your needs to be met, you know, because we all have limited time in the week and we can't be going to show up for co-op and no one's showing up prepared. So you really have to have a certain level of trust with the people that you're going to go into co-op with.
True.
And you want to have, I don't know, I feel like like-mindedness is a real key component to that because when you start incorporating all kinds of worldviews and things like, I mean, it just gets really hairy really fast, you know,
when
there is a conflict and there will be a conflict, like period. I've never been a part of any co-op except yours last year.
Where it's because we're all amazing. We're just all, you know, conflict free here.
Yes, drama free for sure. But like, you know, there just is. Everybody has needs and it gets personal real quick when you're dealing with kids and you want your kids to have a good time learning at co-op. So there will be conflict if you are a part of a co-op, whether that's directly with you or with another couple of families in the co-op or with the kids or with the moms. Or with the expectations, like, so you really have to have a thick skin if you're going to start a co-op, whether that's out of your house or with liability forms at a church building or something like that. I think it takes a background. Yes. It takes a lot of prayer, a lot of confidence in who you're inviting in. And I would highly recommend not just creating a Facebook post saying, hey, we're starting a co-op. Who's interested? You know, because you're always going to get those moms that are interested in every opportunity and they will hound you with questions and, you know, or you get people who they just really want it to be more of a drop-off situation without the commitment. So being very clear on your expectations on, you know, is every mom going to be required to teach? Is every mom going to be required to pay a fee? Is every family going to be required to be there every week? You know, like what are those things before you just start launching into, hey, it'd be fun to have a science class together. Like, yeah, it sounds fun. Until you're in week three and
no one's
you're
prepared.
Having conflict.
Yeah.
Because there's no bigger waste of time. I feel like, you know, to me, if I'm signing up for a co-op, it is with the intention that my children are getting quality education and people are coming prepared.
It's a marriage for the year and you be prepared to have the hard conversations with the, I mean, if you're doing a small co-op, like what we're talking about, and then be prepared to have those hard conversations with other moms. And if they are like-minded, they will be thinking the same things. You know, and having those hard conversations becomes easy to do. And they're not hard conversations because you're all kind of on the same wavelength. And it's just being able to verbalize it and put it out there. So everybody has the same understanding. And then you move forward and it becomes very easy. If you're willing to have those hard conversations up front, and this is what the expectation is, this is what we're doing, and everybody's in agreement with that. And then it becomes easier as long as everyone stays up to par with what they've said they'll do, you know, and of course,
and I think that's a really hard thing too, as a peer relationship, the accountability piece of, hey, you said you would teach this class or you said you would show up here or whatever. And then to like, have to call out another mom on that for the integrity of the group. Like, I mean, that's a really awkward place to be in, but you know, at the same time, is it worth the value of the group and the integrity of the group to have this? Because I mean, I know we've all heard or been a part of co-ops before where there is like a lot of drama and it's not being dealt with from the top leadership or the person who's the director or whatever else. and things like fall through the cracks, well, then guess what happens? We're all like coworkers and at the water cooler,
right?
We're all talking. And, you know, it's just the fact of life. Like moms are going to, you know, if they have something they love, they're going to share it. Like we share resources or things that we love. And if there's things that we don't like about something, then of course we're going to talk to our friends about those things. Like, don't sign up for that co-op. That right. is a train wreck waiting to happen. Or like, I love this co-op. I would do this every year. Like, you know, some of the things we've done every year. But when you're in this homeschool lifestyle for the long haul, and you are not wanting to just be a silo at home, and you want to find friends and community, a co-op is a natural progression, I feel like, to homeschooling. Mm-hmm. But you do have to be cautious with who you're committing your time and energy with.
I just keep hearing in my head, you have to be an adult. These are, you know, like some of these conversations you don't want to have, but when you're a grown up, you can, and you mm-hmm. should. And it's the difference between, you know, the teenagers gossiping and things going around versus addressing something like yes. adults should do. And so hopefully whenever you do have a co-op, you'll have other adults that want to address things head on and nip things in the bud when they start, instead of letting them fester.
And, yeah. My mom actually gave me some great advice recently. And she was like, you know, the difference between gossiping about something is that if you're just gossiping about it, it is really like you're complaining about a problem. But when you're talking constructively, you're trying to solve a problem. So, right. you know, I mean, we can go into a whole discussion about gossip and what it looks like with adult women who are trying to solve a problem, you know, because we're told, you know, you don't want to talk about people, and you really don't. You really do not just want to have conversations to bash someone or to like complain right. about them. But if you're in a group setting, it's like a work environment. If you're part of a co-op and problems are arising, they need to be solved. And I don't feel like there's any shame or guilt that needs to be associated with going to someone and saying like, hey, I mean, obviously going to that person first that the issue is with, but if they're unwilling to solve it, or it's out of your hands because it's, you know, whatever, it's not exactly your thing to solve, but maybe the director's thing to solve, and they really need to go to that person, then there's nothing wrong with having those conversations with right. other women. And
I think the key word you said there was constructive. If it's right. constructive, then it's not gossip, right?
Yeah.
If it's gossip, it's tearing other people down and it's spreading rumors and
divisiveness
and all of that. Yeah. But if it's constructive and it's helping, that's what God calls us to do. He wants us to talk about our issues in a constructive way. And mm-hmm. come to some kind of conclusion. I mean, you can vent to me all day long about someone else in co-op, and maybe we can come up with some kind of solution, or I can give you suggestions on things that you can try with that person. That's constructive. That's not gossip. There's a big difference there. I think that's a very good point.
Yeah, I think the spirit in which you're doing that, if it is truly yeah. just to tear someone down, or you're just frustrated, or, you know, obviously go pray first, talk to God, and, right. you know, get your emotions in check. Because that's the other thing, is like the last thing you want to do is have a heated emotional conversation with someone about co-op or something that happened at co-op, and then just like word vomit on them. And then it's like, that doesn't really solve any problems. And now you look like a crazy woman right. because
you've got cake on your face. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, for sure.
But I mean, overall, co-ops have been greatly beneficial for our family. I think for all the problems that can arise in them, it is worth it when you find mm-hmm. something that works for your family. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, like, I hope I'm not coming across as like co-ops are bad and negative and they're going to be a problem.
Right.
For you.
Same. But I mean, but that's any situation, you're going to have conflict. And so I think it's good to have that conversation mm-hmm. about it. Like, I mean, we're going to be real that, it, yeah. you know, there is conflict, but the benefits can very much far outweigh any negative things that could happen at co-op. And when you find one that, well, like you're getting ready to say, when you find one that really, really works, it can be a tremendous blessing.
Yes. And I mean, and really when you're looking at co-ops, I kind of feel like you are looking for your tribe of people, that you're not just going to meet with at co-op, but afterwards having, you know, gatherings with the kids and friends and forming those relationships. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think you can really do that if you don't have those hard conversations or when things arise that they're not dealt with, because I can tell you, like, the best friends that I have are the ones that we've gone through hard times and come out on the other side and have much more of a mutual respect for each other. than just kind of like, oh, you did something that I don't like. I'm never talking to you again.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, it does increase the bond. And I was actually just talking to a kiddo about that. He's having a conflict with a friend. And it's like, if you can just sharing that with him, if you can talk to your friend about the conflict, come to some kind of mutual understanding, apologize where you need to apologize, then your bond as your friendship will grow deeper and stronger because of that conflict. And so it ends up being mm-hmm. a good thing if you handle it right. You know, I mean, if you fly off the handle and start calling names or, you know, having some kind of argument, then obviously that's not going to solve your issue. Mm-hmm. But if you're able to solve your issue and then you can learn how to communicate effectively with one another, then yeah, Katie, bar the door, you know, you're going to have a really good relationship with that person and your friendship's going to be stronger. So, mm-hmm. and that's really important with other moms like you and I. I don't know that you and I have even had, maybe we have had some conflicts and we've just been able to discuss them. I agree with this or I disagree with that. And then we become closer because of it. And
yeah,
so,
I can't think of any.
I can't think of any.
And I think that's just I don't know, it's our personalities. I'm more straight to the point. Like if I see mm-hmm. something, I'll say something and I'm not going to shirk away from it, or at least not for very long. I might try to be like, I don't know if I should say something.
Right.
But I never have regretted saying something that was quote hard or difficult or awkward right. or yeah. whatever. It's always made things better in the long run. So
I've had times where I've said things that I needed to say, and then the other person didn't take it the way that I meant yeah. it. Or they uh-huh. took it, or maybe I'd said something the way I didn't necessarily mean it. And uh-huh. then the other person took offense to it. I've offended a lot of people in my life.
Take a number.
But, you know, worth it.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that stick around and, you know, we can have a really good, deep relationship with, the ones that don't stick around don't get to have that, I guess. I've had a few friends break up with me when after I've been honest with them, but I don't know, like, you know, you're trying to be sometimes, yeah, sometimes you just try to be as straightforward and adult as you can. And then that person still doesn't have, they uh-huh. have some kind of issue. And so they have to go another direction, and that's okay too, you know, because mm-hmm. in the end, you know, that you're being honest with yourself and you're not holding yeah. those things in and you're not gossiping around, you know, so you have to be, even regardless of the outcome, you still have to be satisfied that you did mm-hmm. what you know is the right thing.
I had a homeschool mom mentor talk to me. And one of the things that she said was so simple and so profound was, you know, sometimes you have friends for a reason. You have friends for a season, mm-hmm. and then you have lifelong friends that you sure. might not talk for a long time. And that is so important too, because, you know, I think I've dealt with that with my kids too, as we've changed co-ops and stuff. Like they'll complain, oh, I never see so-and-so anymore. And it's like, well, they live like 45 minutes away, or they're in public school now, but I grew up in a military family. So we moved a lot. So I can understand right. the loss of friendship and the change in schools and moving to different programs or whatever else. So I get it. It is hard and it is frustrating, but that is part of life. And I think that that's a good thing to be able to teach kids, you know, as you do different co-ops, like you can't grieve it for a total loss because it was just for a season right. and there's a purpose in that. And, you know, same thing with friendships. Like we've had homeschool mom friends that, you know, our kids are little, we get together more, our kids aren't interested in each other anymore. And so we just don't see each other as much, or they do a different co-op than us or a different whatever. And there's a grieving, I guess, process that can happen in that loss of time with that person, but understanding that that's a seasonal friendship, or maybe it is a lifelong friend and we don't have to do the same co-op after, you know, 3 years together, and we can pick right back up at the park where we left off and right. be able to have those conversations. So I think that's so important to remember as we navigate co-ops and homeschooling among other moms as we're on our little our own homes, but then meet each other out in the public space. Is just, there are going to be times where we're really close with people and that's wonderful and it works out great. And then there's going to be times where we're not. And
right. And I did not grow up in a military family. I've lived in the same house from the time I was 3 until I moved out.
Wow.
So I still have friends that I met when we were 6, you know, that have a lot of my close childhood friends have moved away, but I still am in regular communication with them. So that sometimes is a hard lesson for me. So maybe I should have been a military family because I would have understood that lesson a little bit better, but I have a very hard time sometimes letting go of people because for, you know, I've had so many friendships that I had entire childhoods with, and then the, you know, growing apart or having an argument and not speaking or whatever it is that separates us. I struggle with that. Like, wait a second, what about all these other things that we've done? You know, what about all this, you just want to throw that away, you know, and I get, sometimes I can get dramatic about it, but it's difficult for me to let that go. And so really understanding that sometimes there is a reason and a season, and sometimes it's just, I forget the third thing you said.
For a lifetime.
Yeah. So it's some, and it's okay. And those things are okay. And it's, maybe it's okay to grieve those for a short period of time and then let it go, wish them well and let them be, you know, but I've really struggled with that. So thank you for saying that, Erin. I am, you know, true friends are like an octopus on your face, right? So
I've said many times, right. You can't get rid of me, Amanda, no matter if we're in co-op together or whatever. Yeah. And now we live like what, 10 minutes apart. So right, I really, you can't get rid of me.
That's your forever house. This is my forever house. We're going to golden girl it when our husbands die. That's all there is to it.
Well, yeah. And you know, I think just one more thing to that too, is like with co-ops and friendships with other moms within the homeschool community is, there have been many times where like we have mutual friends or whatever. And then I think, oh, I should be hanging out with this person too, because we have so many mutual friends. Mm-hmm. And like, that's not a good reason to pursue a friendship with someone, because there's a reason you're not closer than you are already. I mean, I've been in that situation too. I'm like, why isn't this friendship working? Oh, because we have nothing in common. I don't really care to be around this person or their kids.
We must make it work.
Yeah. We see each other at co-op, or we see each other at this field trip all the time. Like, well, that's probably enough, you know, like, right.
Okay. It's okay to do that and not to have that much pressure to put on ourselves. We do that to ourselves all the time. And
yeah.
We shouldn't put that pressure on ourselves. That's ridiculous.
Well, and I think as Christian women too, you know, you think, you know, God wants us to get along with people, and he does, but we're never, you know, you can't be best friends with everybody. And, you know, like, it might be a reason that you guys have connected, and maybe it's that both of your kids like Minecraft gaming and you guys have been able to meet and make some connections there. And that's the reason. Mm-hmm. And over, game over, you're done. who knows?
Yep. I get it.
Yeah. And I will say too, like, we went skating the other day and we ran into some mom that we used to do a hiking group with, and we've known her and her son for, you know, the whole time we've been homeschooling. And it's just, it's, we talked about how funny it is to see, like, you know, these little boys were so little and they didn't have deep voices and facial hair, and they were just so little. And now they're these towering men and, you know, so old and teenagers and getting their first jobs. And it is fun to see the different people that you have connected with over the different seasons of your homeschool, and just to reconnect at different things in public that you see, or you run into them at the store or whatever, and you see them and you're like, oh, this is, it just brings those nostalgic early homeschool moments back to your mind of like when we had time to go and hike and play in the woods all day for a day of the week during our homeschool. Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah. So, I wish I had joined your, we were doing something. I think we had co-op or something when we were doing your hiking group. Uh-huh. It was on a bad day for us, but I always wanted to go and do
that. Maybe we need to reinvent it. I've missed hiking with the teenagers. I think that's just, nature is always important and healing. And I think that
we could do some nature journaling, kind of go back to the Charlotte Mason days of the
draw a picture of the leaf that you just found and stepped on and ruined. And now we're crying that I don't miss all the crying. Do you miss the crying?
No, I don't miss the crying or,
from the kids.
My son slept until 8:30 yesterday morning, and this is the child that did not sleep through the night until he was 7 years old. And I just about lost it when he slept until 8:30. It's like, hallelujah, wonderful. Now get up and do chores.
Right. You're late now. That's funny.
Yes, it's glorious when they start sleeping and not crying anymore. And there's so many things. Yes, it's wonderful. Yes. I look forward to
grandparenthood. Are great.
Yeah. Pops are great.
Homeschooling is great. Yeah, let us know your experience with co-ops. Good, bad, and ugly. What are the funny moments, the horrible moments?
Right.
We've got them all, a gamut of them.
Yeah. You can email us at goathomeschoolingpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram. We don't have a Twitter page yet, do we? We need to have a
Twitter
page.
No, I'm not on Twitter. There's too many.
You need to become on Twitter.
I tweet too much at home anyway.
Right. But Goat Homeschooling Podcast with Erin and Amanda, both Facebook and, I mean, if you just look Goat Homeschooling, you'll find us.
On Instagram.
On Instagram. And we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you'll subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you'd like to suggest topics for us to discuss, or if you have any questions, find us at Goat Homeschooling on Facebook, on Instagram at Goat Homeschool, and email us at goathomeschoolingpodcast@gmail.com. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.